Welcome to the brand new Emma's Diary podcast. My name is Amy and I am a parenting and lifestyle blogger at Through Amy's Eyes, and I'm so excited to bring you the first ever episode of Emma's podcast. Now I'm here with my two bestest mummy friends and we are going to talk about all things parenting and motherhood. So Jenny and Sarah, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, my name's Jenny and I'm a mummy to two little boys. So my eldest is 4 and then my youngest is 1.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I've got two little ones as well. I've got a little lady who's 4 years old now, and my little man is 9 months old. And I met these lovely ladies when we started going to Babyway.
Yeah, so we've been friends for nearly 5 years. I should probably explain as well. I have two little boys, one of whom is 4 and one of whom is almost 10 months old. So we all have children that are around the same age, but we all have very different experiences when it comes to motherhood. And that brings us on to the introduction for this first ever episode. So we're going to be talking about our delivery experiences and how we brought our beautiful little babies into the world. So I'll start with talking about the different experiences that I had. So as I said, I have two children. My eldest, he was obviously my first, obviously, and it was a very different experience to when I had my second. So when I was in labour, I was kind of told what to do. So I was told you need to have an epidural because I had high blood pressure. I was told that I kind of had to stay on the bed. I was told, everything I was told I listened to. Because I think as a first time mum, when a doctor says to you, you have to do something, you go, okay, I have to do it.
Definitely.
Because you're trying to do the best for your baby and you're listening to the doctor's advice, which is right. But I think second time around, I understood that I had a bit more choice and that you can make more choices when you're giving birth. So with my second, I originally wanted a home birth with a pool, everything to be all relaxed and serene, was going to do hypnobirthing. But then when I was 36 weeks pregnant, I had a huge bleed, as you girls both know. Yeah. Had a huge bleed. It was terrifying. I was taken to hospital and the staff at the hospital were amazing. I cannot express my gratitude to them enough. They were so good. And within half an hour of me being at the hospital, I knew that the baby was fine, everything was fine. It ended up being the polar opposite birth experience to what I wanted, but it was probably a more positive birth experience because they gave me choices and I kind of felt like I was a lot more in control. I don't know if that's just because it's the second time round. I don't know.
Amy, did you feel more confident the second time round of making choices?
Definitely. I think when it's your second time, you know that you have the right to make those choices as well. So it was when it came to, with my second, I'd been in labour from about 9 a.m. until 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I was in a lot of pain. Contractions were coming thick and fast. And the midwife said to me, why don't you consider having an epidural? I was like, no, I don't want an epidural. Don't really know why I didn't want one, to be honest. I had one the first time round, but I just said I didn't want one this time. And she spoke to me and she said, well, why? Talk me through why you don't want it. And I was telling her my fears about not being able to move. And she was fantastic because she spoke me through everything. And she said, no, it's not like that anymore. We can give you a weaker one. You know, we can do this, we can do that. And it made me feel like when I made the decision to have the epidural, which I did, and it was a really good idea for me to do that because I was exhausted and I wouldn't have had the energy to push when it came to it. When I had that epidural, it felt like it was my choice and I was ready to do that. It wasn't forced upon me and I wasn't told you have to have one. So yeah, I do think as a second time mum, you feel more confident that you can make choices. But on the flip side, I do also think that where you give birth, the people you have surrounding you make a big impact on the way they word things to you and what they say.
That's what I was going to ask you as well, because you gave birth in the same hospital.
I did.
Twice.
Yep.
Do you feel their approach was different? Even though it was only less than 4 years apart?
Yeah, I do feel their approach was different, but I think that's because midwifery has changed and guidelines have changed, which is a brilliant thing. They're moving forward. The NHS now offer hypnobirthing classes to new mums and pregnant mums, which is brilliant. And I think that, yes, their approach has changed, but it's changed for the better. And I don't think it's just my hospital. I think it's across the board that it's happened. Birth experience for me, first time round, epidural, gave birth vaginally, but that was that really. It wasn't the nicest experience because I was stuck on a bed for 12 hours. But then on the flip side, with my second, had this horrific bleed. It should have been a really scary experience, but because of the staff at the hospital and the way that they made me feel, it was probably a more positive experience. But I'm interested to know about you, Jenny, because I know that when you had both the boys, your deliveries were very fast, weren't they?
They were. Very so with my eldest, I had pains early hours of the morning, and I was it. Well, everybody always says when you have your first, it takes forever. It takes hours, and it could be
days.
Oh yes, I had all of that, so that's all I had in the back of my mind. So I remember I had pains about 3:30 in the morning. I just thought I had a bellyache. So in the end, I think I woke my husband up about 6:00 in the morning, and I think I got into the bath then. I rang up once, midwife told me that if I was fine to stay at home, do so. So I did. They told me to take paracetamol. I remember thinking, what, paracetamol? Like, really?
Doesn't even touch a headache.
Exactly. So I took it, because obviously they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I had a horrendous cough. So that impacted on my labour as well, and also afterwards, I had the whooping cough injection at, I think it's 20 weeks.
Around there, I think. Yeah.
And so I had it, but I had this horrendous cough since then. So I took it, I rang back an hour later, and when I rang back, they were like, oh, if you don't feel comfortable, come in. But I felt fine myself, but it was my husband that was telling me to get out of the bath.
Probably panicking, you were going to give birth to the bath.
And he got me out of the bath, and I remember it being excruciating. It was the worst ever. Mm. And then my plug came away in the bath. So when I got out, obviously you can't see, like, past your belly, the top of your belly. So I remember walking into the bedroom, I didn't have anything laid out, I didn't have any clothes to wear, I was still wet, I was having pains, it was just horrific. Mike then told me that I was bleeding, so I was a bit like, what, I can't see it. Yeah. So I remember going to the toilet, oh my gosh, sitting on a wet toilet, like sitting on the toilet being wet, it's just horrendous.
Clinging on, trying not to slip
exactly,
off.
And having pains as well, oh my gosh, it was just horrendous. But no, I finally managed to get out of the house, I got to the hospital, I really remember they giving them my notes, and then them saying to me, we need to go and get you weighed. And I remember thinking, like, weighed? Really? Just get me into a room, right? What's going on? But no, I went into a room, and then I remember my contractions being really, really strong. So Mike went out to go and get a midwife, and they just left me in there. They come running into the room. That was quite comical because they crashed into each other.
Oh, no.
But no, that was funny. But no, when they put me on a bed, they examined me, and then I was already 10 centimetres dilated.
Wow.
So it was very quick in the time, because I think when I did get into the hospital, it must have been about 9:30 already.
So you're looking at like 5 hours you'd got there.
Yeah,
wow.
It wasn't very long at all. So when they did put me on the bed and examined me, I was fully dilated. I think the midwives were still buzzing around. One was trying to put a catheter or something in me, another one was trying to put a line in my arm. For bloods and things.
And you're just going, I need to push.
I was just, and I was pushing. That's the only way I could get rid of the pain. They were like, stop pushing. And I was like, I can't. I don't know how to control this otherwise. Yeah. Turned out that he had basically pooed inside me, the meconium as well. So I then had a room flooded with loads of people.
Yeah.
As soon as he was born, I remember them saying to me, I can see it, and I was bleeding. At the time, I didn't really know. I knew something was going on. There was quite a few midwives. I think it was about 4 in the room. But I was bleeding. I had a third degree tear in the end. So because I was bleeding, they were like, we need to get this baby out straight away. So as soon as he was out, he was put on my chest. He was put behind me into the little cot to be checked with by the doctors. So because I had my third degree tear, I then had to be stitched up.
Yeah.
I had anaesthetic. Just a local one, and it was horrible. I could feel after a while, because I was being so long being stitched up, I could feel the stitches going in. It got to the end, and I was just like, I can feel it. But the midwife then turned around and said, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. So in the end, they did that, finished it off, left me for an hour, and then the doctor had to come back in to check me, and that was horrible as well.
I can imagine.
So obviously she tried to check internally, and I just had this cough. That's the other reason why they had to come back as well, because I had this cough. Each time I coughed, I bled, so they didn't know whether it's me coughing, so it's coming out, or whether I was still bleeding inside. Luckily, I was okay, and then I was allowed onto the ward.
Yeah.
But with my second, it was a little bit longer labour-wise, But I wanted a water birth of both of mine, and I didn't get it.
I think so. That's it, isn't it? It's remembering that. That's one thing that I always say to so many women. Yes, make a birth plan. 100% have a birth plan. When I had my second, I had three birth plans. I had an A, B, and a C. My A was my home birth with the pool and everything, that my ideal situation. My B was if things went wrong and I had to go to hospital and I had to be induced, or I had to, or like I did and I had that bleed and I had to go in. It was what I wanted in that situation. And my third was if I had a cesarean, if I had a C-section. Because people seem to forget that even if you have a C-section, you still have choices and there are still things that you can do to make the experience more positive. I mean, this is probably a really good point to bring you in, Sarah, because you had both a vaginal birth and a C-section, didn't you?
With your two. Yeah, so with my first, I had a vaginal birth. I had to be induced as natural labour stalled, and my waters had already gone, which my mum then told me afterwards had happened with all five of her births, and then from early, but she decided not to tell me until after it happened to me. I was induced, but I had a vaginal birth. I had a wonderful experience, and it was amazing. I was very, very lucky with my care, even down to the fact of being asked whether I wanted toast or a wash afterwards first, which it was amazing, it was fantastic. With my second child, I decided to try out gestational diabetes for the last 3 weeks of my pregnancy, just for fun, which led to my little man being, well, they thought he was going to be absolutely huge, and with lots of other issues going on, it was suggested that I went for a planned C-section. Which I wasn't particularly keen on, as I so thoroughly enjoyed my first experience of birth. But as you say, it kind of isn't down to you in the end.
Yeah.
You have to have kind of a rainbow of ideas of what might happen and what things you'd actually like to happen.
And I think as much as you have choice, you still need to remember that these are medical professionals that are telling you to do things. And ultimately, the doctors and the nurses and the midwives, they will only tell you to do something with your best interests. You know, they're not going to risk anything happening to you or your baby.
No, and so do you know what? It is a moment in time.
It is.
And when it's your first pregnancy, especially, I think, that moment of birth almost sometimes becomes the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's the beginning.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's in a day. And it's then it's over and you're on to your next journey. So if it's not exactly as you wanted, okay, that's all right. You can carry on. It's fine. But yes, with the planned C-section, I was amazed by how much choice I had. So I was able to ask for skin to skin. I was able to see my little boy born, which might not be for everyone, but it was an amazing moment. I had a lot of choices still to make, which was wonderful. And actually, anyone facing a C-section, I'd say, please don't worry. Don't waste any time about worrying about the operation. It's absolutely fine. And the team that I had made it into such a party experience. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And was still an incredibly emotional, amazing moment.
Yeah.
So
I've heard from people that have had emergency C-sections and have then also had with their other children planned C-sections. And they always say, yes, emergency C-sections will only happen when there is something really major going on. You know, they are a necessity. It's kind of a last resort for medical staff, isn't it? They won't do it unless they really have to. And it can be a really stressful, rushed time because obviously the reason they're doing it is because something urgent is going on.
Yeah.
But I've heard from people that when they have their emergency C-section, yes, it's stressful, it's panicked. They can sometimes feel very confused because the doctors, in a way, aren't too worried about you. They're worried about your baby. They have to get your baby out. But on the flip side, those that I know that have had planned C-sections, they say that it's a really calm, really empowering experience.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that people can have a bad experience, but then can have an experience that's almost healing for them.
Absolutely, and I felt very in control. Even with my C-section, I felt so as if everybody was listening to me, making sure I was okay, making sure my needs were being met. So, yeah, it was fab. It was totally different, of course.
Yeah.
But it was a really good experience, definitely.
That's amazing. It's so good to know that even when people always see C-sections as like the worst thing ever to have.
Yeah.
I think it kind of got a bit of a stigma with the media, when people are like, oh, you're too posh to push and all this, and it got a bit of a stigma attached to it. But actually, it can be, as you said, a really empowering, in control kind of thing. But once again, that could also be because it was your second. Did you feel like it was more confident to make choices? I mean, with you, Jenny, did you feel like, from your first baby to your second baby, I know they were kind of both similar in the fact that you had bleeds and they were both very quick, but did you feel more in control with your second, or did you feel more out of control? What were your thoughts with that?
I feel more at ease.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because it was my second, but I was also in, because in the hospital where I gave birth, they've got two different sections. So one where you're high risk or if you need extra help or anything like that. But and then they've also got another bit where it's more relaxed and it's just natural. They only offer gas and air and pull births and that's it. So I was lucky enough to give birth in the other section where they do have calm music playing. And like I said, I wanted a water birth, but didn't get that far. So both of my births were very quick. With my second, I went to hospital and I was only 4 centimetres dilated, but I ended up having having him just over an hour of being there in the end.
Wow.
So in the way of like me being in control, yes, in a way,
but things happened so quick.
Because I remember when she said 4 centimetres, I was petrified, but like, oh my gosh, it's going to be long.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want to be in that pain for such a long time. So luckily for me, he did come early. Like Amy said, I did have a bleed with him as well. But even being stitched up afterwards, the experience of it, I remember talking to the midwife and she was sewing me up. And I didn't get that the first time. Yeah. I was just so out of it on gas and air. It's good stuff, that stuff.
I love
as well.
Gas and air, yes.
Very good stuff.
I remember sucking on the gas and air even when I had the epidural in. I definitely didn't need the gas and air, but I was like, I'm just going to keep going with it.
I think I fell asleep the first time at some point with my first, but with my second, I didn't actually need it. I took one big breath because I knew what to expect. It was being so, but oh my gosh, it was such a different experience. I was so much more relaxed.
I think it can be. I think it's a double-edged sword. You can feel more in control and you can feel calmer. But I think on the flip side, you can feel a little bit more scared because you know what's coming. So you know the pain. You know that pain you're going to go through. You know how it's going to feel, but you know what's going to come at the end of it. So even though you know that you're going to go through this again, you know that, I mean, I don't think anyone can ever explain contraction pains. You know, it's a really hard one to explain. And you do forget about it, I think. You do kind of forget the pain. But does it scare you more knowing that it's coming?
No, because I felt more scared not knowing what it was going to feel like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with my first labour, and I'm weird, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Do you know what? I felt the same second time round, because for me, every contraction, every bit of pain, made me feel like I was getting closer to the end goal.
Yeah.
And as excruciating as it was, it just made me, every time I had one, I thought, right, okay, that one's done. That's just one more to tick off. I'm getting one step closer. And yeah, you're so right.
My head, it's your body doing it. Therefore, your body wouldn't do it if your body couldn't cope with it.
You know, that's part of it.
It was like a wave. And you just rode the wave, breathed it through. Great, we're on to the next one. Like you said, it's like just getting closer. I don't think there's any other situation in your life you're going to have a pain like that knowing that it's going to be an amazing outcome.
No.
As soon as you have that baby.
Positive pain, isn't it?
Yeah, as soon as you have that baby in your arms, you kind of forget about the pain that you've just gone through anyway.
And I tell you what, before we wrap this up, because we've chatted for a really long time, before we wrap this up, I just want to find out, can you remember the first things you said after you had your baby? So I know, when I had my first, he came out, and all I kept saying was, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, that was all I kept saying. The second time round, they put him onto me, and all I was saying was, he looks like his brother. He looks like his brother. And that was all I said. I mean, do you remember what you said when they were born?
Totally. I totally remember. With my little lady, we had two girls' names and a boy's name. We didn't know what we were having. We wanted to leave it as a surprise. And the girls' names were polar opposite from each other. As soon as she was born, I said the name she was going to be. I said, hello, whoever. And the midwife just went, oh, well, that's a decision made then.
That's lovely.
But she looked exactly like her name. There was no way she could have been the other name. With my little man, I just kept saying, we've got a son, we've got a son, we've got a son.
That's
and
so
I
nice.
Could not believe that we had a son at all. I was completely shocked.
Oh, wait, you, Jen, what did you say?
Well, I've got to explain something there. So before I say what I said, I'm Chinese and my husband's English. So as I was pregnant with him, I just thought, you know, I'm going to have, I wonder what he's going to look like.
Yeah.
So when my eldest came out in front of me, when I looked at him, I just said, he looks like a real Chinese baby because he had dark hair, olive skin. He just looked
like
a Chinese baby.
He does, yeah, he does look like you.
So that's the first thing I said. And with my second, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what I said the very first time.
He's the milkman's.
I think it was something, to be fair, along the lines of he's really fair. This is when I got a proper look at him. It was, he's really fair.
Yeah.
So my husband was like, really? And he couldn't really see. He was like, no, it's just all the gunk and dirt on his head.
Oh.
But when he held him, he did say he's really fair. Yeah. It turns out that he's blonde.
Well, this looks the most like your husband.
He does.
Yeah.
He's blonde. So, and I never thought that would happen. So
I think my own memories that you won't ever lose, aren't they, the first thing you say? But well, thank you so much for chatting this with me, girls. It's been great fun to talk about this. And join in next time for our second episode of Emma's Podcast, where we are going to be talking all about your postpartum body. So thanks so much, girls, and speak soon.
Thank you.
Bye.